I like it when all of the psalm readings, the utterance, the song that was sung, everything goes along with the message, praise God. Shows the Holy Spirit is definitely ordering the steps, and we just want to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen. Many of us have been facing different types of trials, and many of us, of course, been standing with those who have and been at war against the principalities and powers. And in the midst of conflict, so often it's good to take a step back and just remind ourselves about how good God is. Amen. And how His mercies endure forever, praise God. Amen? Amen. I love that one psalm. You know, it doesn't matter even what the preference is before the statement. Just go through and leave all of those out and just keep saying, and His mercy endures forever, and His mercy endures forever, and His mercy endures forever, praise God. And so we delight in the goodness of God. And as that utterance said, you know, the scripture says that we're to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Amen. When you're alone in your prayer time, just take that time and shout unto God. The Lord is enthroned upon the praises of His people. Hallelujah. Amen. And we realize that. Let our God arise and our enemies be scattered. And we know the great enemy that we're warring against, that enemy of death, that enemy of the enemy of our souls, Satan, as we do conflict on behalf of those who were believing to be restored and delivered. We serve a God who's good, not willing that any would perish, praise God. We serve a God who was good, who was made sick with our sickness, was made sin with our sin, that we might be made righteous with His righteousness. Hallelujah. So we're a blessed people. So many good things that God is doing in our midst. One of the things I wanted to share this morning too, and as we're meditating on these particular aspects of the goodness of God and the mercies of the Lord, we want to make sure that we have the right concept also of the sovereignty of God. As I've been in the Lord's presence and just asking Him some about these different things, one of the things that came to me, the Lord, I believe, really kind of spoke this to my inner man and said, why is it so often that when you think about sovereignty, you think about me wanting to go against your will? Do you ever think about sovereignty in that way? Well, here's what I want, but God's sovereign, and so He's not going to let me have my way. Well, the reality is we are to want God's way. Amen? He told us to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. He told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But when we talk about the sovereignty of God, we're talking about not only the fact that He has that capacity to affect His will, how and when He wills. Amen? There's none that can thwart His ways. He is the sovereign, almighty God, and He does, the scripture says, whatever He pleases. Amen? He's not going to answer to us. But the good thing is, when we know God in His sovereignty, not as, again, an attribute that is distinct from His unitary essence, we have to think about sovereignty along with love and goodness and mercy at the same time, don't we? And so we need to begin to think God is almighty. He is sovereign. He can affect His will in every way that He pleases to work good in our lives, to make it turn out right, praise God. He works all things together for good. to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. Isn't that what Romans 8 tells us? And so we rest in the goodness of God. We seem to think when we meditate on sovereignty that, you know, the sovereignty of God is he's going to choose for us hardship. He's going to choose for us the lesser, the more difficult path. God's desire is to set us on the path of holiness, righteousness, peace, joy, praise God. It is a straight path, it is a narrow path, but it's a righteous, holy, good, and to be enjoyed path, praise God. And God has just made so many provisions for us to enjoy this life. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. We as believers should have that joy and that enjoyment of life that the world knows nothing about. I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. An abundant life is a life that's lived to its fullness. God's whole purpose for your life and mine was that we might know him and have fellowship with him. Amen? The whole duty of man, fear God, keep his commandments. When you do, it goes well with us. Isn't that what the scripture says? And so God's desire is for things to go well with us. God's desire is for us to be in fellowship and communion with him. To know him. We talked about Adam in the garden a couple of sessions back and what kind of life that must have been. To meet God in the coolness of the day. To hear his voice. You know, we learn something great about God in that little capsule also. Isn't it interesting? We saw God as we studied that out as always the seeker. Amen? He came into the garden seeking fellowship with his man. Adam, where are you? Come on, let's go for our walk, praise God. An old, old hymn, I Come to the Garden Alone. Some of you may have remembered that great song. While the dew was still on the roses. Goes on and says, and the voice I hear. As I'm standing there, none other has ever known, praise God. And then it goes on, he walks with me and he talks with me. And that part of the song, it's so great as we're fellowshipping and we can see ourselves called by name, praise God. God's seeking you out this morning. He's calling your name. Come on, let's have some fellowship together. Let's not be too distracted to fellowship with him. Amen. Do you have him pinned in today in your appointment book? Let me see, down here right after eating, after playtime, after recreation, after entertainment, 3.5 spontaneous minutes of worship with God. There we go. God's seeking fellowship with us. Are you available? How much have we devalued what his blood has provided for us? Bold access to the throne of God. Can you imagine that? There's not one person in here that wouldn't do whatever needed to be done if you could have a literal calling into the presence of God before his literal throne to see him with your eyes, to hear him with your ears, praise God, to have him declare his will and course and direction for your life. There's not one of us here that's not up for that. Am I right? Amen. And we can get that every day. Come boldly before the throne of God. that we might obtain mercy, amen? That can help us in all of the different times of need in our lives. Come boldly. Come immediately. Come often. Come with expectation. I'm here for you, praise God. A lot of us would, in a moment, receive an invitation to the Oval Office. Some of us would love to go to meet with some celebrity or some star athlete or some mega mogul. And we have the door wide open to the throne room of the Almighty. Let's begin to access that and take advantage of it. And see it for what it really, truly is, praise God. And so we want to talk about the goodness of the Lord and how He's seeking us out and He's wanting to draw us to Himself. And we have to keep the goodness of God in mind, because if we don't, we're going to lose the benefits of all of the afflictions and trials that God in His goodness puts upon us to mature us and to purify us. Because the Lord chastens, disciplines, instructs those that He loves. See, if we don't see it as goodness, if we don't see it as the love of God, then it's going to bring to us dread and confusion and doubt. When in fact it ought to bring rejoicing and celebration that God knows what's best and here's what it's going to take to get us ready, praise God, for the next phase of our lives. Therefore the scripture says, count it all joy when you fall into different types of temptations, tests, and trials. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith works consistency. That word patience doesn't just mean endurance or long suffering. It means a consistency. Anybody in here think you could use a little more consistency in your walk? You know, too many of our walks look like a heart monitor. Consistency. That ability to repeat and do the same thing over and over again without drudgery. Understanding the worth, the importance of that virtue called patience. Or let's put another virtue with it, faithfulness. And so when we misunderstand and misinterpret hard times, how many of you, and don't feel alone, in the midst of hard times and trials, lose sight of the goodness of God? You don't have to raise your hands. Or we begin to lose track of the fact that this is only part of the course of our life. This is going to pass when it accomplishes that He intended it to accomplish. You will not be tempted past that you're able to stand. And with every temptation, He makes that way of escape, praise God. He gives us grace sufficient to endure it. Amen? We can't look to self in any way for endurance. We don't have the strength to stand up under these adversities. It has to be something that God's mercy and His goodness produces in us. But we have to know Him as good. And His intentions toward us is good. You know, we've talked about that eternal aspect, an infinite aspect of the love of God. God is what? Love, praise God. God's purpose toward man, toward us, His children. He loves us with an everlasting love. While we were sinners, He loved us. He loves us right now in all of our failures. In all of our EKG readouts of our Christian lives, up and down and up, and here I am again. Confessing our sins. Seven times 70. And God's merciful and long-suffering. And every time you've confessed your sin, He has forgiven you totally, praise God. And we start with a clean slate. God doesn't have a record over here going, yeah, okay, let's see. Every time you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Handwriting of ordinances blotted out. No record of the offense, praise God. That's how much God loves us. And since I'm there, I might as well throw this in as always. Don't you keep a record, because if you do, you keeping a record is the only thing that'll bring your record back against you. Anybody who's ever offended you or sinned against you, you better let it go into the sea of God's forgetfulness, praise God, and rejoice in their deliverance, in their forgiveness. A God who desires and has the capacity to work all things for good in our life. God, as lover of our souls, His intent toward us is our absolute, infinite well-being, praise God. He wants everything to go well for you. You say, well, it's not working. Yes, it is. You don't see it. Amen? It's working in spite of your unbelief. Because God is good. Amen? And we'll look over at Hebrews and see. In fact, why don't we turn over there right now just real quickly into Hebrews chapter 3 and begin to see, you know, we find Israel, because of their sins, in bondage in Egypt. And God heard the cries of His people, the scripture tells us, and He went down to deliver them. And we won't get into all of Moses' feats there that were being worked by God through him. We just want to look at the general revelation that He gives us, that He heard their cry, He had compassion on them, and He delivered them, praise God. Now, God's primary method of delivering people is people. Jesus made the provision. Jesus gave us the legal right and the enabling. He gave us power, dunamis, and exousia. And we realize that we have authority and we have might and ability. I don't want to get too far off course right now, but we need to realize that as God brings different people into our lives, the care of one another of the body of Christ, the gifts of the Spirit as they operate and bring, you know, edification and harmony and community and unity into our midst, as He sets gifts into the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to build up the church, to do the work of the ministry, to set doctrine in course. That spiritual leadership. All of these things are being done. All of our individual lives, God working His best in every one of us and yet able to keep us in harmony and in unity and following the leading of the Holy Spirit while uniquely touching every life, calling us by name, knowing the hairs of our head, praise God. God's intimately involved in your life and He's intimately involved in our fellowship. He's got a will that He's affecting in us. And the more each one of us lets Him work it in us individually, the more He can do corporately. And so He's working in His church. He's working in the members that make up this mystical body, the church. And I've shared before, and I don't want to get off course, but that's why whenever God's working in your life, don't think what He's saying to you, He's saying to everybody, and you got to go set everybody straight and get an agreement with what He's doing in your life. Amen? Amen? Whatever your convictions are. Your convictions are for you. Amen? And so He's purifying this body. He's preparing us for deliverance. And though all of Israel was delivered as a whole, once delivered, they had to make individual decisions as to whether they would enter into the promise or not. You see, many of us have been delivered from our sin. The real issue at this time in our lives is, are we going to go enjoy the fullness and benefits of the promise? Are we going to be able to stand? As I was before the Lord spoke another thing to me as I was meditating upon Him. The Lord spoke again and brought the words up in my spirit. Few there be that find it. How long have we been preaching that? And we know that few is relative, but let me remind you, few does not mean God's grading on the curve. It doesn't mean because there's X number of billions of people alive today that, you know, that, well, man, we're talking billions of people. So surely out of these billions, 100 million will be saved. Need I remind you when Jesus spoke and said it's going to be as it was in the last days, it will be as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Sodom. In the days of Noah, millions of people, 8 were saved. In Sodom and Gomorrah, 3 people walked out. Few there be that find it. That doesn't mean because there's billions, hundreds of millions are going to be saved. And God would be just today, as Abraham prayed for Sodom, God would be just today if for 3 people were delivered out of the billions in the world today. Because it's only going to be those that are ready. It's only going to be those that are pure according to God's standards, not America's standards of Christianity. One amen. Do we have the biblical perspective on things? Now we're talking this morning about the goodness of God. God's intent is for every one of us to make it. Amen? God's not willing that any would perish. Let me share this. We all know it. God is just. Amen? Amen? And God is good. And God is love. And God is merciful. And God is kind. And God is gentle. And God is long-suffering. But it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of this living God. This jealous God who is a consuming fire. We have to get the biblical perspective of the awesomeness of this God that we serve. This God who's pursuing us. This sovereign God who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And so He's working in every one of our lives individually here this morning. He's putting His body and His bride together. Hallelujah. And He's going to appear to those that are looking for Him. How'd you do last week? Were you an earth dweller? Were you thinking about the things of this world more than the things that are above where Jesus is seated at Father's right hand? Was your mind focused this past week on the coming, the imminent return of Jesus Christ? At any moment He could have showed up, praise God. Do you live in that? We have it as a doctrine. Do you live that way? Do you make your decisions in light of the imminent return of Jesus? How much is this world really weighing us down? What is our perspective? Is it spiritual? Is it eternal? Are we seeing that city not made with hands? Or are we more interested in what we're building with our hands? Are we worried about retirement and we haven't lived today yet? Today's the day of our salvation. Oh, beloved, how we need to come to fellowship with Him and live in the moment. In this time that God's appointed for us. Chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another, say it, daily, what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, let's look at sin here for just a moment. In the biblical definition of sin, sin is transgression of the law. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Sin, hamartia, it really is just talking about missing the mark. Well, Paul said, I press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a goal. There is a, for lack of a better illustration, you know, there is a, in this pursuit, this target that's before us, a bullseye. This deceitfulness of sin. That deceit comes in to telling us there is a substandard. It's okay to do things your way. God will understand. God will forgive repentance. God will not understand disobedience and rebellion. Amen. Amen. His ears are open to the cry of the righteous, but the wicked He will not hear, praise God. There is no greater sin than the sin of independence. Self-will. Self-reliance. I love that one phrase. Self-reliance is God-defiance. Everything we've been sharing for these last months, years, as we've been teaching over and over again on the daily cross, this death to self, this denial of the old man. As we wake up in the morning, as we've shared before, the first thing we ought to do when we wake up in the morning is cry out, Adam, die! Amen? That Adam, that Adamic nature that's still in our members has got to die daily. There's no place for independent thinking. You can't set your own course. God is ordering a course for you. Have you stopped to check whether your ambitions, your goals, the course you're on are right with God or not? God will understand. No, God won't understand. This is the way. Walk in it, praise God. Now God, in all of His goodness that we've been talking about, God in His goodness is going to come into our lives and help us with these different issues. He's going to set us in His sovereignty on course. A man devises his way, but God directs our paths. Amen? And we've gone over that scripture many times, but we think we know. I know I'm on the right path. God spoke to me. Yeah, what voice was that? Was it that same voice that got you in trouble last time? Oh, I thought it was God. We find out that the majority of the time, God's voice speaking within us will go contrary to all of our natural thought processes. The voice of God, if you're hearing God's voice, it is always demanding His lordship. Amen? God's voice does not put you on the throne. God's voice does not build your reputation, your kingdom. God in His goodness and love and mercy allows us to be used to build His kingdom. Amen? To make Him big. The kingdom of God is not about God making us big, it's about us making God big. And so in His goodness, He delivers us. And as He delivered Egypt, the scripture talks about the mighty manifestations of God in that deliverance. Even the other nations heard and feared. Amen? They had all of these gods, but man, they got woke up one day and said, there's a God that's alive, that's on the side of these people, Israel, that delivered them from Egypt, that sent all these plagues, that divided the Red Sea. We don't want to mess with Him. They trembled. The nations trembled as this nation was approaching. The ironic thing about that was the nations, and it's so much the truth today we live, the nations feared God more than the church feared Him. Amen? The nations feared God more than Israel feared Him. They said, go on up and get the commandments and come down, tell us what God said and we'll do it. He wasn't gone a few days and they're partying. How often do we go back partying after visitations from God? God shakes our lives. He puts us into different circumstances. He shakes our lives. He gets our attention. We say, speak, Lord, whatever You say, give us the word, we'll obey, we'll do it, praise God. And then party time starts We reassume control of our lives just a few days down the road. God doesn't want to deliver you from the circumstances. He wants to deliver you from yourself. And so this morning we want to see that good God, the God that delivers us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers us out of them all. Amen? The righteous. If we have time, we're going to go over to that 34th Psalm. And what a blessing. You can't read the 34th Psalm and not just get blessed and faith rise up in your hearts and looking for a devil to whip, praise God. But the thing that I want us to see this morning is that when God delivers us, God normally delivers us into the next trial. Amen? And that's one of the things that we've got to come to grips with, and that is the wisdom of God. Now see, many of us misunderstand. We think that because we now are going to go into, we're in, or going to go into another trial, that somehow that negates God blessing us. That negates us enjoying life. It negates us having peace. And Hebrews tells us just the opposite. The trials give us an opportunity to move into a genuine rest and peace, praise God. That's not circumstantial. It's in Christ. It's in Him that we live and move and have our very being. For me to live is Christ, hallelujah. And the first century church, believe that. We're going to kill you. It's gain. Amen? To live is Christ and to die is... You see why those guys couldn't be whipped? The worst the enemy could do was give them abundant life, praise God. I like the fact that as I was reading just yesterday, reading about some of the martyrs, back in the 1400s, and they begin to get a little bit wise back then that when they started to burn these guys at the stake, I was trying to think, the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, if I ever get martyred, can I pick? There's a couple of methods I'd like to just kind of have out of the equation. You know, fire was one of them. What a horrible way to die, to be burned alive at the stake. I wasn't real big in being sawed asunder either. Depending on what kind of saw it was. If it was a handsaw, you know, if it was one of those big saws that they have up in the timber country, you know, that the blades are like 8 feet tall and you know, they cut those trees, whoosh, one whack, that's okay. But the Catholic Church got wise. They were burning these guys. And more people were getting saved at the martyrdoms than from the preaching of the gospel. Because they were watching these people die in peace and in joy. They're burning. And they're raising their hands and praising God as the flames burn their hands. And their hands fall off all of the extremities. And they worship their God. So they got wise. So they started sewing gunpowder in their clothes and stuff that would go off and like, and take them out quickly. Because the longer they stayed in the peace of God and worshiped in persecution, the more people repented and said, this is real, man. This is no game. These people have tapped in to the supernatural. They've tapped in to the living God. This is not religion. And you know, and until we're in trials, many of them severe, and people can see that it doesn't rob the joy. It doesn't rob the confidence in us in the goodness of God. We, like Job, say, the Lord's given, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. And so Israel's delivered, and they're coming out as a group, and he's saying, take heed. Take heed, listen. I want you to get rid of that evil heart of unbelief. If you go on into the fourth chapter, the sixth verse, he talks again. He says, you see, there were some that refused to enter into the promise, and they entered not in, verse 6, because of unbelief. An unpersuadableness that God's way is the best. I can't comprehend it. It makes no sense to me. There's no way we're going to march around these walls and have any kind of a success. And at Jericho, they march around the wall, and the greatest miracle of all is they kept silent. Amen? God said, keep silent. Well, the wisdom of God is as long as they kept silent, they couldn't speak in unbelief to one another. Well, I don't know why we're doing this. This doesn't make any sense. Pretty stupid to me. What do you think? I thought Joshua was a good leader. I thought God had put his hand upon him. Oh, the Lord gave him the commission, be strong and courageous. But here we are, murmuring, second-guessing God's wisdom, God's word, God's leadership. Especially in America today. Dear Lord, how does one woman whining convene our Congress? That's insanity. This little political blip. Paid for by. We're in trouble, folks. I surely hope you are not trusting in the broken reed of America. I agree with Mrs. Graham. If God does not judge America, he owes Sodom an apology. And we're living in this crazy world. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes, as it was in Noah's day and as it is in America today. God is in the midst of this, cleansing a bride. People like you and I, we are filthy with this world's philosophies and all of its weights and sins that do so easily beset us. We're filthy. We need washed by the water of the Word of God. We are so influenced by secularism that we're not even aware of the degree of the deception that's in us. And God's trying to shake us and awaken us and tell us the one thing, beloved. Church, listen to me this morning. The one thing we must fear more than anything else is that tendency to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The Peter mentality. Oh, everybody else, you know, I know everybody else, but not me, Lord. Oh yeah, you know, I can do these things and it won't affect me. Probably others shouldn't do it, but I can handle it. You're going down. Pride comes before the fall, man. Before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. God's call to humility. God's call for us to come back and live our lives totally reliant upon Him. Desperate for His voice. Desperate for His method of provision. I want God to be my provider. The blessings of the Lord have got to be our source. As God makes these determinations, they come out, and the scripture says that He brought them out that He might bring them in. He's brought you out of one trial, and you say, He brought me out, but now I'm in another one. He's going to bring you out of that, because ultimately He's going to bring you in, praise God. Amen? He's going to work His image in you. When will these trials let up a little bit? When you finally choose to die. When you finally resign yourself to the fact of drinking the cup, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And all of those little pet projects we have that we're holding on to, all of our own things that we've envisioned for years of how we wanted life to be, how we had pre-planned the life of our children, how we've made plans to preserve for three generations, and oh, the wise man lays up for his children and his children's children. That's wisdom. That's the word of God. But we've missed the heart of God if we think that's just speaking about material things. Because Abraham was chosen not to amass all of this wealth for his children and children's children, but to bring them in too, and he was chosen for this purpose, the understanding of the covenant promises of God, and that he might teach them to his children and his children's children and make them wealthy by making God their God. Amen. As we're out of time this morning, let me close with this thought. We mentioned earlier the fact that few there be. The thought, it just struck me like a hammer as it became so real to me. It wasn't a totally new thought, but it came with such greater clarity and urgency. To think that God in His righteousness would be willing to destroy everything that there is but eight people. The fact that in our intercession, as we're crying out, we come to that place and say, peradventure, 10. He said, I'll spare the city for 10. How corrupt can a nation become? How corrupt can people become? How far reaching can this independent spirit go among people that say God is their God, that Jesus is their Lord, but don't keep His commandments? That have no fear any longer of God. That have been so influenced by a Calvinistic thought process that perverts grace. And then teaches that to live in conflict with and be at enmity with God will only cost you temporal blessings, not eternal relationship. It's damnable. It's a lie of the devil. It breeds unrighteousness. It breeds haughtiness, independence, self-sufficiency. Oh, that God would bring us back. Father, bring us back to a childlike pursuit that says, I need you. I can't do anything without you. As Rob and Mildred come, we're going to just lay hands on them as they prepare to leave this afternoon. The truth is, beloved, as we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, the truth is we can't do this. The truth is you're not going to pull it off with your own tenacity, with your own knowledge of Scripture, with your own morality. We must, as Philippians says, apprehend that for which we've been apprehended of Christ. As Rob and Mildred head back to the mission field, back to their calling and that place that is home for them, Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him and delivers them. Rob, that's a verse for you to go on. The angel of the Lord encamping round about you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Praise God. As the brethren are coming, let's lay hands on them this morning. Everybody stand with us and just believing God to send them back and to have a great year of ministry. Praise God. God's doing a great work there. Our families being strengthened on every hand and as he and Forb and Ruth are working there and fulfilling the purposes of God and seeing a church edified and strengthened and ministers trained up. There's a lot of warfare. There's a lot of attacks. And so we want to just continue to hold them up. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's times of weariness. There's times of opposition. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Father, we come in the name of Jesus.
Praise your name, Lord.
And in that mighty name, Father, we speak upon them the peace of God.
Praise your name, Father.
The rest of God, Father. Let them cease from their own labors. Not to trust in their own strength. Not to trust in the many years that they've been there. Not to trust in the trials that we've been through and been victorious. But to trust in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our trust and our hope is in you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Give them a rest.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Give them a rest, Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, mashabaraha katandas.
Hallelujah, Lord. We believe you.
In the name.
Praise
in the
your
name,
name, Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Praise your name.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Great is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Great is the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Praise your name. Our eyes are upon you, Lord.
Oh, masoba da baba shata. Glory, glory, glory. Father, we do thank you for it. We rejoice in your goodness. Great is our God. Hallelujah. 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 Aren't you thankful for the goodness of the Lord this morning? His promise to deliver us, praise God, that work of Jesus, His life will be conformed in our lives and His promises are sure to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and say, there's a rest for the people of God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.